Welcome to Escapes. I'm Erica Hemphill, and I am thrilled to invite you on this empowering journey. Join me as we explore the art of escaping self-doubt, the constraints of the 9-to-5 grind, the false realities that hold us back. We'll empower you to embrace entrepreneurship, motherhood, and co-working with your partner, and to boldly step into leadership roles that were once thought unattainable. Escapes is more than a podcast. It's a community of resilient women and men who are rewriting their stories, chasing their dreams, and smashing through glass ceilings. Together, we'll share stories of triumph, strategies for success, discuss our failures, and use insights from remarkable individuals who have paved their own paths to greatness. So join me, Erica Hemphill, as we unlock the doors to your unlimited potential. It's time to escape, empower, and embrace. Oh, and elevate. Your adventure begins now. Hey guys, well, welcome to Escapes. I am here with my better half, Mr. Hemphill. We haven't been on in a while together, so we're going to jump right into it because we've had a crazy last 30 days, and I thought that you guys would want to know the ins and outs and the back conversations of, really, how did Cabin Wars go?
Yeah, Cabin Wars, excellent topic. Everybody that we see on the street is asking us about Cabin Wars and how it ended. We were sworn to secrecy. We cannot tell you who the winner was in our season.
I think that's really hard for the community because they see us. They really want to know.
They know that we know.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine that. It's really hard for me.
Right. And I'm glad that we know. I'm glad they didn't keep it a secret from us for that long. I wouldn't have been able to take that.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have liked that very much. So what was your one takeaway from Cabin Wars? Or what was one of them?
One of the takeaways from Cabin Wars was how awesome of ideas me and you can pull off just collaborating together. We obviously had a vision, but the vision really came to life throughout the process. The plan was not 100% together the day we started. The design plan is what I'm talking about. But when I think about the other part of that question, what was your question?
What was your one takeaway? What was one of your takeaways from Cabin Wars?
I love being
besides losing the GoPro.
I love being on camera. I loved it. It's so funny that I really reminisce right now about the first day Erica was like, you've got to get on this podcast with me. And I was nervous. Like, I'm not nervous at all right now. Wasn't nervous to get on camera. Really enjoyed it. It really brought out a whole other side of me that I didn't know I had. And I'm ready for some more filming. Definitely going to change the way we advertise the work that we do and the way that we show it. What do you think?
So I think one of my biggest takeaways that I mentioned in one of our interviews for Cabin Wars, or towards the latter part of our confessional, I guess, was that just owning what I do in our company and what I bring to the table. I think obviously we always joke and talk about that I started the business by myself, but really owning what that means and really being okay with that, you and I definitely have separate lanes. And like we talked about that in one of our podcasts before, but I think Cabin Wars really drew the line in the sand that there are things that I do and I manage. And then there's obviously things that you do and manage. But it was nice seeing the crossover of how much I really don't get to see the guys that much. Our company has grown so much and we have done well for ourselves over the last 5 years. But being at the cabin and joking with the guys and hanging out and having them on video, you guys, y'all have to understand that like they didn't sign up for that.
No.
But they were all really open to just being a part of this crazy journey with us. And so for me, it was about that relaxed atmosphere with them and being able to see them do what they do well, which is all of their craftsmanship, like whatever their niche is and how well they do that. Right. So those two things were huge for me, owning who I am and what I do for our company. And then also just supporting and getting my guys' names and their companies out there because they are all local. And then the third takeaway for me is, damn, we have a amazing community. Like, when we put it out there, what we were doing and that we needed their help and we needed them to show up for the reveal day, they just showed up.
Let's go back to how I was feeling. I'm going to backpedal. So we basically got some phone calls at the office and we thought they were spam calls talking about a TV show. And Erica got an email eventually from somebody that we know that said, hey, I referred you for this. Are you not interested? If you are, please apply. So there was an application process. There was a Zoom interview. It took a little while to get accepted. We found out that we were accepted to be on the show. I honestly, the day we found out that we were getting accepted, I didn't want to get accepted because at that point, I knew that they were only giving us $20,000 and they were only giving us 30 days.
But hold on a second. Let's pause this because whenever this is that bantering back
She's
and forth that y'all.
She's hijacking my speaker, folks. Go ahead.
Who originally was gung-ho about doing this show?
I was, when Erica asked me about it, like when she opened the email, I was like, hey, we just got asked to apply for a TV show. I was like, heck yeah. Boom. Awesome. This is what I want to do. I've been thinking we were great for TV.
And I was not. I did not really want to do it.
Right. So then, was it a month or two later, we've already filled out the application, already done the interview, and we have our call set up. The day of the call to sit down and on the Zoom call to find out if we got it or not, before we got the call started, I told Erica, I really don't want to do it. They're not giving us enough money. They're not giving us enough time. I started thinking negatively about it. And we got it. We got accepted. It was kind of like surreal. I remember I called Drew. You call your mom and dad. I text your brother. Like, we were telling people how excited we were going to be on.
It definitely set in for sure. But then you were still in the mindset of like, how the hell are we going to make this work? Well, then I immediately go into Erica mode of, you don't tell me no. And I knew that if I reached out to our vendors in our community that we would have that support that we needed to make it work. But my thought process still at that point was, I can make all of this work, but this is not going to be based on design. This is going to be based on a popular vote. And I didn't know how I felt about that. So I was still weary within that mind space. Yeah.
They were upfront with us in the interview process that it was going to take a story. You know, they reminded us of when you watch American Idol or when you watch The Voice, you're going to have a compelling story for the people in the community to want to vote for you. So they were upfront with us about it. But in the same token, I don't really know if our story, you know, you're not sure. But I wasn't even sure that we could put out a product for $20,000. You're talking about, then we get to go see it for the first time and they film us.
Mm-hmm. And I said, when I walked in, do you remember what I said?
Yeah, oh, shnikes.
And I didn't say snikes. Let's just be real with everybody. I said, oh, shit.
Yeah, so obviously we would have loved, I mean, I don't even want to get into the details of that, but it was not until me and Erica took a ride. We went and talked to our cabinet vendor. We had some drawings of what it looked like and what we wanted the kitchen layout to look like. Well, hold on. I'm jumping to cabinet vendor. The first person was Chris Lee with Ferguson, and they were on board with helping out.
Like 100%. Like, I mean, he didn't even see the drawing at that point. It was just like,
whatever you need, we got.
And Ferguson had already done an amazing project with us a few years before that, the Sunflower Project, where we were able to build a teeny home for a community resident. And I remember he jumped on board that day too. So I knew when he jumped on board that this was going to be like a fast roller coaster.
I was like, that's cool. They're going to help. We go to our cabinet vendor and we asked him what he could do. And he hooked us up with the cabinets and the countertops. However, he wasn't going to pay for the labor. And we had to pick a specific cabinet that he had in stock that was more affordable. And then I ended up having to agree to build the cabinets and your brother install them. And we ended up having to pay labor to install the countertops, but we got a hook up there. So now I'm starting to feel more confident. Our flooring, Elena at ProSource, she wasn't able to commit that day, but she sent out some messages and we heard back in a few days that there was a couple of vendors that she had that one was willing to give us the tile for free. So after we went out in the community and found out that we had that amount of support, I mean, how much money do you think that was? Just at that point, we didn't know, but at least $10,000 or $15,000 worth of support.
No, for sure. Just the kitchen and the countertops by itself would have been like $7,000 or $8,000. You know, so then all the trimming and the lighting and everything, another, you know, 3,000. And then the tile itself. And then our guys just showed up too.
One thing I'm assuming that y'all know, and I keep backtracking, is the budget was 20,000. We had to sign a contract that we could not spend our own money, anything over the 20,000. The only way we could get supplemental support was through donations, like vendor donations. You could donate time or materials. And we got both, honestly.
Almost every vendor that we reached out to donated or sponsored in some way, shape, or form, whether it was donating a material that we needed or our guys donated their labor time. But look, the market that we're in right now, our guys couldn't just do that for free. So there was a lot of labor costs that went into what we had to use our 20,000 for. The part that I look back on for Cabin Wars for me is that I wish I'd have been a little bit more detailed on the front end of like what my expectations were on how everybody was going to be held accountable and to the same standard.
What do you mean?
Like,
there were different strategies for sure. So our strategy was we had a lot of material donations.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we ended up spending money on labor.
Mm-hmm.
Look, let's face it. Myself, Gordon, I'm a slight handyman, but by no means am I a framer or a trim carpenter. But I did do some framing and some trim carpentry,
right?
In order to keep the cost down. But two of our competitors had a different strategy. Not saying that they didn't get materials donated, but they made a partnership. Each of our competitor teams had some sort of partnership with a tradesman,
mm-hmm.
a craftsman, mm-hmm. like, let's just use their names. You had Mike on one side, and you had Chad on the other side. Mike and Chad were partnered up with the competitors' teams.
And they're amazing. Their work
right.
was stunning.
They did framing. They did trim work. They did tile work. They did electrical plumbing. They did all kinds of work.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have that particular person.
Right.
We had our subs and me. And I think that both of them probably got paid out of their budget, but I think they both, I'm assuming, probably had some sort of agreement that if they won the competition, that they would split it or something. Looking back,
it's really more or less talking about like being more clear on like what was going to be covered by the show per se, like whether it be the gravel or the concrete or electrical or plumbing, like whatever it would be. I think that if we ever had to do that again, I would just be more specific on the front end of, okay, we went and saw this cabin. Here's my list of things that we see that we're not going to come out of pocket for, or we would think that we would not need to be out of pocket for.
I keep backstepping so that I can paint a picture for the people that are listening. And what Erica's saying is when we gutted this thing, they came in and they provided an electrician, a plumber, and an HVAC crew to rewire it, replumb it, and put in a new HVAC system. We didn't actually know that that's what was going to happen until like 48 hours prior to demo.
Right.
Therefore, my AC guy had went out there and looked at some things for me about where were we going to move some stuff. And like, we really wasted his time and our time because that wasn't necessary.
I'm just a detail-oriented person. And if you've been listening to any part of the podcast, in every podcast episode, people can tell that about me. So So it's not a negative connotation. It's not a negative statement. It's just more reflective on me and what my process would be if we ever did something like that again, because I think that that played a role into what we were able to do throughout the process.
Yeah, it was. It reminds me of like when a client changes their mind on something. Just imagine that we had something in our budget that was going to cost us money in our minds, and then they actually provided the service and covered it. Therefore, we had more money, which more money meant that we changed our plan and we added something. And when you added something, it added more labor, more time to the project.
Right.
And it causes confusion, as does a change order in building a new home.
Well, and it just changed our design throughout the process, or delaying the project for a few days. Like at the very beginning of the project, we knew that we were going to finish about a week ahead of time based on our timeline and schedule. Now, there were some things in there that happened, like I had to go out of town for a conference, which was a delay. But then in the same token, like the concrete on the back end was a huge delay because we were waiting on that, which meant that we couldn't work on the exterior of the cabin at that point. So for me, it's just a learning thing of just more details on the front end of like what actually would be covered and whatnot. What was your funnest part of the project?
Most fun part of the project? It was competitive. Me and you are both very competitive. I was really impressed with how competitive the competition was. House of Charbonnet, maybe not the friendliest team, more secretive with their design and what they were planning to do and didn't want us to know about it, but they were highly competitive in that I really felt like in the first week or two, Jared Emmerich's team was helping push us to, you know, man, we're painting today, they're painting tomorrow. Like we beat them on the demo. Like we were really kind of racing them. And then halfway through it, it was like, whoa, the Charbonnets aren't playing. The outside of theirs is beautiful. They're really putting in some nice touches. And when we were there working, they were literally 15 feet away. You could hear each other talking. You could see each other working. So it was so fun. It almost felt like playing a team sport because we were on the same field. Like you were right there competing against them. And that challenge and that competition was what was fun about it. You couldn't wait to be like, I bet they don't have something like this in theirs. Like doing the headboard and showing them the headboard and seeing their face, being like, oh, wow, this is really good. Like I knew it was good when you showed it to me. I knew it was even better when we pulled it off. I knew it was really good when they had to walk through on camera and hear all their oohs and ahs about it. Like just competing was what was so fun about it.
The funnest part for me, I think, was definitely being competitive for sure. I think that's my natural drive. I thought that was fun. But seeing you on camera was absolutely the funnest part because I don't like being on camera. I don't have, everybody says, oh, you're made for camera, but I really don't feel like what I have to say is of any precedence because I just am who I am. But seeing you get so involved and like, oh my gosh, where's the GoPro at? Oh, I have to set the GoPro up, or oh, I lost the GoPro. You know, so I think for me, it was really seeing you come out of your shell. A lot of people don't know if they didn't come to reveal day, but I was not able to be there. Our daughter had a competition in Houston, which was very hard for me. It was almost like all the hard work that we had put in, I didn't get to reap that reward.
Some people don't know what reveal day is. Like I keep reminding
them. I know. So the reveal day is the day that the whole community got to come out and see all the cabins. They opened them all up. You could walk through, you could talk to the designers, you could talk to the contractors, so that you could really see what they had all done in those 30 days. Well, like I just mentioned, I was not able to be there. And there were hundreds of people that walked through. So when I say the funnest part for me was watching Garland on camera, he actually had to step up that weekend and actually like talk, promote, sell, showcase the cabin and all the work that we did. And I think he has a new respect for that.
Well, I've had to speak before on behalf of our on behalf of other people's companies in the corporate world, but coming into E&G, we've always joked that G is silent. Well, after this project, I can no longer claim that G is silent because I've had to step up and speak. It was interesting because after the reveal day had ended, Jared Emmerich came over to the cabin briefly, and he was like, "Man, I'm just exhausted pushing people to vote." And I said, "Well, I've been telling everybody who we are. We're, you know, I'm Garland from E&G, and we're local, and our office is in Hammond, and we build houses and live. I was trying to push our business more than the votes because ultimately that's what it was all about. And it was a very, you have to be turned on. You have to, I can't even describe it. Like, I know it would have helped to have had Erica there. I don't know. It's kind of a small space inside of the cabin. It might would have been hard for both of us to be inside. Probably one of us would have to be outside and one inside or something like that. But it was a really fun time to be there because about 15 days prior to that, I had been the entire last half of the competition, the last 15 days, I would say that I was at the cabin probably from 8 to 8 or 7 to 8, like 12-hour days, nonstop, Saturdays and Sundays too. And that wasn't normal for us. I mean, we have a family and we respect our family life and we protect our weekends and our family time. So to be that committed and invested in it, and then to have that opportunity to celebrate the success with the community and not have Erica there, it was really difficult. And I know that she missed out on that. But everywhere we go in Hammond, everywhere we get out the car, people know who we are now, right?
Yeah, we our social branding awareness grew by over 1,500 followers in that 30 days. So I think the show did what we wanted it to do, and we got to do what we wanted to do, which was elevate our community. Cabin Wars was based right in our backyard, 15 minutes down the road from us. And it's part of our parish that we live in, that we shop in, that we are a part of. And so for me, it was about elevating our community, elevating our brand, elevating our company, elevating our guys and their business. And I really think that no matter what the end result is for the show, so you have to stay tuned for that, we did our job.
Right. Well, I was like, we used to joke, I can't bring Erica to Walmart. If I go to Walmart with Erica, I end up shopping. She ends up talking to somebody different on every other aisle because Erica's born and raised here and she knows everybody. She's used to that. I'm used to dealing with that with her. But it's new to me that now I'm going places and people that I don't know are saying, "Hey, you were on Cabin Wars," or "You're that guy that, you know, I was at the store the other day," and the manager behind the counter was like, telling one of our employees that was checking me out at the register that, "Hey, that's the guy from Cabin Wars. Him and his wife own a design and construction business down in downtown Hammond." Like, to hear her tell one of her employees about my business, and I don't even know her. Let's just face it, I'm famous.
Do y'all feel what I'm saying?
There's no other way to look at it other than I'm famous. If my definition of being famous is when somebody knows you and you don't know them. Erica's been dealing with this for years. This is all new to me.
So he's loving himself. He is living his best life right now, guys. Jeez. Cabin Wars was such a fun experience. We hope that we get to continue to elevate our community in any way possible. We loved seeing all the support, all the love, the text messages, the social posts and shares, and there's never going to be a way that we can repay you for all your love and support that made this journey so much fun, except for just to continue to tell you thank you. And E&G Designs and Construction hopes that we continue to represent you at the highest level in the most respectful way. And we really can't wait to see what the outcome is.
That's not a question. Why are you looking at me?
I didn't know if you had anything else to add to that, or if you want to just say.
Yeah, I want to add to it. Like, there, I feel like that guy that just received an award, and like, you go up there and you don't want to not thank somebody. So there were so many people that made this happen. It'd be impossible for me to rattle off every name of every person or every vendor, but just know that we know who you are. We love you. We respect you. We represent you well, and look forward to working with everyone going forward. I can't wait to see what the future looks like for us, because I know there's so many people out there that before that know about us now that didn't know about us before. Therefore, I know we're going to be very busy here in the near future.
Well, Cabin Wars, that's truly a wrap.
That's a wrap.
Thank you for joining us on this exhilarating episode of Escapes. We hope that you've been inspired, empowered, and ready to embark on your own journey. The power to escape and redefine is within you. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review Escapes to help us reach more incredible women and men like you. You can also follow me on Facebook at ENG Designs and Construction and Instagram at Build with ENG. Stay tuned for more amazing stories, insights, and strategies in our upcoming episodes. Together, we'll rewrite the scripts of our unknown possibilities. Until next time, this is Erica Hemphill from Escapes. Your adventure continues, and we can't wait to be a part of it. Until next time, continue to embrace, empower, and elevate.